Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Angela T. of Needle on the Record, and welcome to a very special edition of our show, Needle on the Record. We're going to be talking with R&B Divas castmate Monifa, and we're going to start the show with her latest single, first single in 14 years, The Other Side. This is Monifa. R&B Divas cast member, and that's new music, first new music in like 14 years. I'm so excited to bring her to the platform. I love the new song. It's been getting rave reviews. She's going to be receiving the 2015 Vanguard Award at the 9th Annual Out Music Awards on the 19th, and it is my pleasure to present singer-songwriter, reality TV star Monifa to the Needle on the Record platform.
Needle on the Record! Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
What's up? What's up? How are you?
I am Excellent. How are you?
I am wonderful and blessed. I'm good. You know, life moves and it's fluid. I love it.
Miss Newlywed.
Oh yeah.
I was so excited for your wedding.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. What a wonderful place to have a wedding. I love Hawaii. Can you tell us a little bit about what that moment meant for you guys, being a historic moment? I mean, first African-American celebrity wedding. My goodness.
Wow, right? You know, same sex. Yeah, that was whoa. In the moment, of course, making the decision to allow the cameras in and have that be a part of my story, which was, you know, which is real, you know, it's real life, but deciding to let them, quote unquote, you know, have hands on it and produce it in a sense, was
absolutely
bigger than us. We decided that it was necessary because it was time to normalize, you know, this, and the fact that, you know, you have to, normalize equality is weird.
Yes, absolutely.
It was necessary. Right. It was necessary, and we knew it was bigger than us, so we decided to sacrifice the complete privacy and share it with the world because it was necessary. In the moment, though, it was in real time, you know, there were cameras there, but it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel like a production. It was still one of the and most amazing moments outside of the birth of my daughter and, you know, hearing my first single on the radio. One of the most amazing moments in my life, coming together, sharing my life with someone that I love and my best friend. And, I didn't feel like, oh, this is the first, you know, African-American same-sex, you know, female wedding on TV. That was the furthest thing from my mind. It had already happened when I had that feeling, you know. As I'm watching it, I'm blown away by the impactfulness of it, and that's when it was like, oh snap! Like our wedding's on TV, B. Like, oh shit! But you know, it was like whoa, and it was overwhelming. It was a great feeling, and I felt like we did the right thing. We were very happy about that we did share the moment. Because it's necessary.
Well, all of us that are fans of the show were very happy for you guys too. It was such a warm ceremony, and I was happy to see you guys join together in your union and moving forward in such a grand way.
Thank you.
I just can't say enough of what a fan I am of your storyline, which brings me to you being honored with the Vanguard Award for the Out Music Awards. Talk to me a little bit about what this feels like. I mean, you're back after a 14-year absence. Just give me the goods, girl.
Well, you know, I was very grateful, and I was a little surprised. I was just like, oh, okay. You know how you just live in. And it's just like, you know, and I've never been nominated for any awards, and I've never, like, that's not really why I do it. It was okay. Like, I know that, you know, what's for me is mine. If whatever the journey
is,
I just have to live it, you know. And and I've been blessed to do amazing things. And, you know, that everybody doesn't get to fulfill their dreams the way I have. And when I received the award, I was like, wow, you know, that's awesome. I have done things in my career in the 90s that, you know, small, like when I say some things that people don't pay attention to like that, like, you know, I've always lived my life and been, you know, Mo. when I did my I Can Tell video, I co-directed it with Senna Hamry, and I wrote the treatment for it. And, you know, I decided to talk about the Down Low Brothers and, you know, kind of give a glimpse into, you know, what that looked like before people were
that
willing
world.
To talk about it. Yeah, right. And, you know, it wasn't received with open arms, you know, like BET wouldn't play the end of my video. Incidentally, Amari Hardwick is the gentleman that turns over in the bed, you know, and I didn't realize that until like 3 weeks ago. I was like, oh, snap. Like,
oh
but anyway, Yeah, like I was like, that's Omari. Like, you know, as many times as I and I've always seen him, like, he's so familiar to me. Like, why? I've seen him somewhere before. Hilarious. Anyway, So talk about delay reaction, right? But anyway, you know, and just, you know, doing me, I feel like, okay, wonderful. Like, you know, I did the wedding, you know, shared my wedding on television, and I just think, you know, I'm appreciative that they thought of me as a groundbreaker, you know, doing things that have it as a vanguard, like, basically. And I do, I guess, consider myself one. You know, I just didn't. I guess when you're not really looking for accolades or anything, you know, I'm not. That's not the first thing in my mind.
That's not the purpose. Yeah.
Right.
You're
exactly.
The purpose. And these other things come out because you're being so come out of the, you know, just out of the woodwork.
Hopefully, the
authenticity because you're being authentic.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, but it's amazing, and I'm very grateful, especially, you know, because it's the Out Music Awards and it's Lara, and I absolutely think there's so many amazing artists, you know, mainstream and otherwise, who are a part of the LGBTQ community and don't get recognized. And I think that, you know, like with any other, you know, segment of awards, like, you know, people have their own, you know, you have the Latin Grammys, you have different sectors, and people decide to celebrate their own. I think it's great that we're doing the same thing. And I'm glad to be a part of it. I really am.
Well, that brings me to the new music. We just played the single, The Other Side. Talk to me a little bit about what the process was like in doing this song and deciding that this was going to be the single. Who wrote it? What's going on with it?
Well, Q-Worthy and a few other people wrote it. Q-Worthy of Q-Music produced it. I just thought it was an excellently fun song. It was fun. And it's real, you know. We always think something's, you know, greener on the other side. Those are some of the toughest lessons that people have to learn, and we learn it kind of early in different layers as we get older. But we get reminded that that's not always the case, right?
Okay, so, some brown patches over there, honey.
Okay, everybody's thing is different, right? So I thought the message was cool and fun and delivered, you know, in a great fun way. So you got this real, you know, real lyrical content with some real stuff that people can relate to, but it served up, the music is fun, and it reminds me of, you know, the hook and the bridge remind me of like a old 70s, 80s sitcom melody. It just was something fun about it, and I like the contrast between the verses and the hook. So I love the track, and I love the melody and the arrangement, and I decided to record it, and I loved how my voice sounded on it. So I was like, this is fun. It's a nice summer joint. Yeah. I was like, just put this on like a little soft, you know, let them know I'm back. I'm working. I'm, you know, people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, okay, let me just put this out, you know. It was received really well. So,
it should be. I mean, it's fun, it's up-tempo, and it does put you in the spirit of summer. It's totally befitting out here in Las Vegas because, you know, it's like 60, 70 degrees out here. I know you guys are struggling in the wintertime out there.
Yeah,
we're struggling.
But... Yes, good. It's 28 degrees today.
Oh, God.
Be still, my heart.
Yeah. We're sipping Mai Tais by the pool.
Yeah, you know what? Okay. That's unfair.
It is. I know. Sometimes life is like that.
It is. That's what it is.
Talk to me about the Invincible Project, which is the new album, the forthcoming album. What can we expect?
It is a labor of love. My God, you know, this is my first time. This is my first go round with a project as an independent artist. So it has been. It has been like 4 years in the making, honestly. You know, I'm feeling way more comfortable in my skin in this area. Have some great producers and writers on the project with me, and it's just going to show Mo, you know, well-rounded things that you haven't heard from me. Just stuff that I like. I love music, and you're gonna hear different sounds from me. It's gonna be cohesive, and it's just gonna be a nice listening journey. You know, just trying to make it as fun as possible. I like it. I love it, actually.
There you go. When you love it, we love it. Okay. So, can we get a little sneak peek behind the curtain of who are some of the producers and writers you're working with that will be featured on the Invincible Project?
Well, they're all new, and they're all well, I mean, I have most of the producers and writers are new and fresh, and probably not people you've heard of before, and which I'm loving, because you know there's a different there's a hunger, and
sure,
and it's no, they're not as jaded as maybe some of you know my peers.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And easy to work with and fun and excited. You know, the energy is different. And I'm excited about that, about giving, you know, them giving me fresh and me allowing, you know, helping them, you know, giving them a platform.
In their professional journey.
Exactly. Sure. And being a part of that. So that, you know, that kind of was on purpose, you know, for a lot of reasons, you know. But I think it's fresh, and it's one hand washes the other, and, you know. Both hands wash the face.
I think that was a really that sounds like a really fun approach to reemerging in the music game after you know an absence like your absence, where we're seeing you on the show and we're experiencing the hits that we love by you and just re-immersing ourselves in your voice, to come back with all new producers and writers to present the voice in a you know, in a different way. I think that's
in a new way. Yeah,
I think that's on the money. That's super dope.
Thank you.
Well, that brings us to the hot topic, R&B divas. What is going on,
right,
girl? Are you guys coming back?
Hunty, I don't
and
no,
when?
I haven't, first of all, let me dispel any, you know, because I know there's a lot of stuff, you know, a buzz.
Sure.
Twitter and social media, you know, people are, you know, getting hits on their blogs with, you know, leading with it's been canceled, but we have not, none of us have officially gotten any official word from the network, and the network has claimed that they have not canceled any shows. So until, you know, we get the phone call, then it's, you know, what I can say is that, you know, our contracts are up, and we, if they do decide to bring us back, they have to renegotiate with us.
Okay. Well, contract negotiation times are always interesting.
Aren't they?
How
fun.
I'm very interested in hearing from you, from your perspective. What has your experience been with reality TV?
I have to say, from being now knowing what it is on the other side of the curtain, as opposed to watching it and imagining, and I have a different respect for it. And I have a newfound respect for myself. I think I did wonderfully and was true to myself, and I taught people how to treat me. I think I did amazingly well, and it benefited me greatly. So I think that you get what you give, and you know what you put out there is what people see. And it's as simple as that.
When you were first approached with the show, I'm sure there were trepidations initially. What got you over those initial, I don't know about this, maybe this isn't
well,
for me,
actually,
and what got you to commit to it?
Actually, it was fairly easy, because the relationship that I had with Nikki Gilbert, who was the creative mind behind R&B Divas, this is her baby, and
absolutely
Nikki and I worked together for years, you know, on her projects, and we had a rapport and a friendship, and so I, you know, of course I trust her, and I knew that what I was responsible for I could handle, and that it was time, because it was a timing thing in my life. It was really a thing where I felt like this platform was afforded for me to tell my story and to, you know, share and let people know they're not alone, and just share the life, because, you know, they picked up this show a couple of days after Whitney passed away. I think understanding that there's another side to this life, especially when you're a woman in this business, there's another side.
Absolutely.
To it. There's so many factors. And I was ready to tell my story. I was ready to tell, you know, share my struggles and share my disappointments and my hopes and, you know, my goals that I did, you know, at the, you know, I was reliving, you know, reconnecting to my passion. So it was time. I felt like God, you know, put everything in my lap at the right
ordered
time.
Ordered the steps, absolutely.
He ordered the steps. And so I was, you know, in the right person, you know, Nikki, I trusted her, and I, you know, and I felt comfortable. And I was very clear with the producers of what I was going to accept and what they weren't going to do and what they were going to do. And they were very respectful, and I got what I put into it. And we have a great rapport. I have a great rapport with the production company, with Think Factory Media, who, you know, I really have a lot of, you know, respect for, you know, so.
Absolutely.
You know,
now, let's talk a little bit about that process. For those that aspire to be a part of the reality platform from a business perspective, because our platform loves to talk about the business of music and the business behind the entertainment. Talk to me a little bit about the business process for you in this journey of reality TV.
You know, unfortunately, I mean, it would have been great to have. I'm just not the type of person that would just make things happen just because I'm on TV. And I'm sorry, somebody was clicking in. Like, you know, I feel like what I was supposed to do, I did, and it gave me the platform to do other things. But there is the business of it is, you know, taking care and protecting your brand, whatever that means for you. You know, if you're an artist, it is important, you know, I'm not saying, I think it's important that people can relate and, you know, have a sense, you know, of, oh, you know, she reminds me of myself or my aunt or my blah, 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 however that means. I think that you have to be conscious of, you know, how you're represented. And especially as women that were already known. We're not bad. In a while. I want to say, like, some of these women are my friends, but they're, you know, if you take Housewives, for example, you're talking about women that people don't necessarily know, you know what I'm saying? And that's different. They can, you know, be whoever they are. That'll work for them. But when you're talking about people, women that have careers and have based their careers off of their music and the interpretation of who they are in their music, getting on reality TV is not always a good look. You gotta really be careful, because you could get on there and it's like, I don't like her, and that just nicks your whole thing. Like, people don't even want to buy into the music anymore. I mean, it could absolutely happen. Not that happened with anyone, even, you know, people that, you know, oh, we couldn't take her. You know, that's not gonna keep people really from buying your music, but. Yeah, it could affect, you know, it could affect it a little bit. The mystique is gone. So you got to be very, very mindful of what you put out. So I'm just, you know, as far as business is concerned, it's different. It's just different for people that are already known coming into a reality arena. I think it takes a lot more. You can't just be, you know, you can't be super too relaxed. It's still business. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
People get caught up in right. People get caught up in, you know, I know people take this thing so seriously. I'm like, oh my God, it's okay. It's still entertainment though. But you know, I'm thankful for all the support that everyone gave us. You know, we are truly grateful for the support and the success of the show. You know, and if it is canceled or let go, it goes out on top as the number one, because we go between number one, number two, between Atlanta all the time. We're still the top rated show on the network. It's a franchise, and it's the most successful on the network. So, you know, you can't be mad with those numbers.
You can't beat that.
Take your business and move
that.
It. Yeah, and then you got success under your belt to move forward. And you know, when one door closes, it's supposed to close, and you move forward. And that's that.
All right. Talking about moving forward, would you be open to a spinoff?
I would probably. I don't know about a spinoff, but I would definitely consider EPing something, another vehicle for myself and others. I actually have two shows in Synopsis right now that are ready to go. So I'm looking forward to getting on the other side of the camera, as well as doing mm-hmm. another vehicle for myself. Absolutely. I actually like the reality TV genre, and I think there's way more that I have to offer it than what's out right now. There's another angle. So,
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think for women in business, reality TV is a good vehicle. I think it's a great vehicle. And it has proven that time and time again. When you look at the NeNe Leakes franchise, you look at your franchise,
right.
you look at Faith
mm-hmm.
and others who have
mm-hmm.
been a part of the R&B Divas franchise or the Housewives franchise, and you look
right.
at their business portfolios,
mm-hmm.
it's exciting times in business for women with the reality
yes,
TV
is.
Franchise. So
yes,
talk to me a little bit about social media. Being this reality star, and how
mm-hmm.
has your social media
universe
blown up or contrasted
mm-hmm.
You being involved in the music business? And the business is so different from your last efforts. Talk to us a little bit about
right.
that as well.
Yeah. It's it's completely different. You know, there's no more machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, with how the machine is being run, I don't know if I want to be
mm-hmm.
a part of the machine. And I think that I can, remain the at the helm of my ship, of my own ship, and reap the benefits and be able to put out creatively things that I think are necessary and what I want to put out. And I get to live and die by my own decisions, and which,
mm-hmm.
you can never
mm-hmm.
be mad at. And learn a lot more. And in social media land, it's been awesome. A lot of positive, I would have to say 98% positive feedback, support, encouragement. It's been awesome. Like, it could be so different, and it's not. And I just think that's, I have to test that to my higher power. Making me who I am
Word.
And put, allowing me to have the experiences I've had to and grow from them and learn from them the way I have and process them the way I have to be the person I am. And that, people have connected to that, and I'm very grateful. And I do feel a responsibility, so that reflects in how I, communicate with my support base.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very hands-on with my people. My Facebook be on fire, like,
yeah.
I put up things that I care about, that I want to share, that I think are important for, my people,
mm-hmm.
black people in particular, and then just people, period. Beyond that, humanity. I am, super socially aware, and it's been good. And of course, I can translate that into numbers to be able to take care of my family. I'm grateful for that. And, I take it one day at a time. And I appreciate where I am, in the struggle, in the successes. I'm appreciative of where I am right now. And I'm just looking forward to this music coming out.
I'm looking forward to hearing the new music and the new project myself. How's Layla? The Layla Chronicles had me cracking up
That's so
the other
funny.
Day.
That's so funny. Layla is my pit niece. And I was in Atlanta at her house.
That's so funny to me.
And so, she's hilarious. Layla's doing well. I wish I could bring Layla up here and hang out, but, Miss Kitty's not having it.
I heard that.
Miss Kitty's like, whatever. So, until Miss Kitty, transitions to, on to glory, I won't be having any dogs in the picture. She's a one-pet
I can understand.
One-pet cat.
I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
She's territorial. And
she's yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they already told me that when I adopted her. They were like, you can't no other pets. And then when she met Layla and her other cousin, she
mm-hmm.
she didn't act right. And
it was like, yeah, y'all cool and get out.
Mm-hmm. She was like, No, ma'am, they gotta go somewhere else. This mm-mm. So yeah, we're very clear. And I love animals. And it was fun spending time with Layla and her mom.
Super cool, super cool. I want to talk a little bit more about the music business. You have been a part of the music landscape. You were part of what I consider the last golden era we experienced with the machine, the 90s. So
yes.
can you talk to us a little bit about what it's been like? Give us a few DIY tips for those artists that are listening to us. Talk to us a little bit about what you would recommend a new artist or an artist that is selling music in this new format we
market.
Have now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this new market.
I would absolutely say you have to really have a grasp on, you know, who you are, what you're,
mm-hmm.
what you stand for, and figure out the way to brand that. And, you know, a lot of people use that word very loosely, and everybody say brand, but brand is a process. You don't just
jump up and pick one off.
You don't
the
jump
tree.
Up and you just
absolutely.
Exactly. It has to be authentic to who you are, so you can effortlessly be you and figure out, target your fan base. You know, it's not broad and crazy. It's a target. Not saying that different people can't enjoy you, but you have to focus on a certain area, you know, of people
mm-hmm.
that you are speaking
mm-hmm.
to. You have to know who and what that is, who and what you are and what you represent and who you're talking to. So, and who you're conveying yourself to. So, I think it's very, very important to set up, you know, some kind of to figure that out. And, you know, you can Google the internet, the worldwide internet. The worldwide web is so large that there's always ways of figuring that out. You could Google, you know, branding and the little things that the things that you need to put into place so you can start maximizing your target demographic. And figuring out how you make all this stuff happen, from your website to, you know, your branding, your brand colors, how they represent you. There's a lot of factors, and I think starting there, that's outside of the creative, is you know where a lot of us independent artists go wrong. So, you know, I have a branding artist empowerment coach. Who's been helping me. Her name is, she's actually an entertainment lawyer as well, but she also has, she was also doing branding coaching, and it helped me tremendously. So if you find
wonderful, go ahead and give her shout out.
Jonae Williams. Her name is Jonae Williams. And let me get her info up while I'm doing that.
Sure, sure.
It's artist empowerment. I don't know all this stuff offhand. This is my girl,
okay.
And she's amazing. Let me just, I'm trying. Okay, here we go. Artist empowerment. I love J. Williams, the artist empowerment firm, and it is J. A. Williams WILLIMS. Law, LAW.com. Okay. So
all
that's
right.
JAWilliamsLaw.com. And
well, you
can,
there,
she
folks.
Has a plethora, exactly, plethora of services. She's amazing, an amazing sister. She has a wide variety of clients, and she has, she's been such an amazing asset to me. So there's, you know, there you can start right there, and she does stuff on the phone. Like, you just check out her website. She's awesome.
Okay, will do. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That brings me to your recording studio setup. Are there any top tools, applications, softwares that you use that you can't create without?
Well, I still haven't delved into that side of things. I am actually...
Okay.
This summer, setting up my first pre-production studio in my basement. And so I'm able
nice.
To have people come and, you know, and I don't have to go running around. They could come to me and not be traipsing all inside of my house. They could come in another entrance, blah, blah, blah. You know, only people that's close, because
mm-hmm.
I'm really big on energy in my home. And,
sure.
You know, but I also want to be able to start, you know, on the creative end, being able to do my own stuff. because that's really important to me. Mm-hmm. Being able to convey my feelings and stuff through music and do it when I you know feel the whim, whenever it happens. So I still haven't, you know, that technical stuff is still, you know, on the other end of me right now. I let everybody
understand
with that. The producers.
I understand.
But I would say Pro Tools definitely is great for, you know, if you get Pro Tools and a little setup, a little mic setup is really,
sure.
You can do something really cool for like $2,000 in your house and maybe
mm-hmm.
a little less just to get your ideas out. Yeah.
Awesome. Talk to me about the future, your future in acting and stage directing. And I know there's a book coming, so where are we in the book process and what's going on with the stage and directing?
We're halfway in the book process, and I am a quarter way into my one-woman, writing my one-woman stage play, loosely based on my existence,
mm-hmm.
incorporating
mm-hmm.
Some of the legends and that have spiritually guided me to where I am right now. So this is my cathartic project and something that I think that I've been wanting to do for the last 10 years has been, now it's finally going to be birthed. I've had this idea for years, and just now I'm in a space where I'm committing a lot of time and energy to it, and this is my thing. So I won't be directing this, but I am writing it and, you know, starring in it.
Excellent. Can you spill the beans a little bit about some of the artists that you may be featuring in the play? This sounds so exciting.
I will say the characters are based on Phyllis Hyman, Whitney Houston, Billie Holiday, and Bessie Smith.
Wonderful. Oh, my God. That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talk to me about this book. Halfway
well,
done,
it's
huh?
Really, almost, yeah. It's halfway done. I'm halfway through it. It's you know, I'm doing everything not alone. I have a great team and very close-knit
mm-hmm.
and an awesome team. But, you know, it's, you know, I have my hands in so many pots, and it's hard to, you know, and once I have to get one project off, and, you know, I've been doing decent. So this book is really about my experiences in the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years. You know, the like I call them the dark years, and then into,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
the awareness and the loving of self, the journey, the lessons that I've learned and the things that, you know, I had to overcome, and really taking that long, ugly, you know, painful look in the mirror. To be where I am right now, spiritually and mentally and emotionally. So, you know, and things that I've had to resolve. And so it's really like the last 10 to 15 years of, you know, because even in the dark years, I was still learning. It was setting the stage. I was still,
sure.
you know, getting the experiences to learn. And I'm just so grateful for the willingness that, I was blessed to have to not, you know, and the reasoning, you know, I have a child, and, you know, and she was a big part of the reason I didn't want to continue the legacy of pain and addiction and all of that. I knew that's
sure.
not what I was put on this earth for. So I'm
mm-hmm.
very grateful for the blessing of willingness and openness. For change and you know and selflessness and not, you know, continuing to be all about me. And that's what has really saved my existence from being different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to be a grandma, you know, so many things.
Yeah.
I just know that everything timing
wise.
Welcome
to the club.
Thank you. I know that everything timing wise, you know, was divinely ordered, you know, because God knew what was happening, and he knew where I needed to be, you know, to have what I wanted and wanted to give to my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited and blessed, and you know, I'm, you know, clean and sober, clean for 4 years, sober for a year now.
Yay.
And
nice.
I'm in a great space, you know, and I take it one day at a time, and I take my sobriety very seriously, and I respect it. I don't play around with it. So,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's something that I have to manage every day. Because, you know, when I'm in a bad state, I have to manage everything, so I don't need to not want to be numb. I don't need to feel like I need to be numb. And I'm really excited about feeling everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and moving, having the tools to move through it. And, yeah, life is good, man. Life is,
well,
life is life.
A beautiful, beautiful thing. Yeah, life is beautiful. And it is, you know, it's all to the good. It's all to the good,
yeah.
Even the tough moments.
Even the struggles, yeah.
Are there to bring you to the sunshine. Yeah, no struggle without, no sunshine without the rain, for real.
That's right. That's right.
Well, talk to me about tour dates. And when is the new project, when is Invincible going to hit our Amazon, iTunes, whatever our formats are?
It will be, I'm looking for early March, late February, early March. The single will be out around my birthday, which is January 20th. My birthday is January 28th, and I figured that would be a great birthday present in its first quarter, and I got a lot to celebrate. And then the album probably around when my grandson is born. So I'm excited. That's what I'm looking to. I think the timing is perfect. Well, timing is great. And so that's when we can look forward to the new music. So the single One Moment will be out. The official single will be out January 28th, and that's entitled One Moment. I love that record. It just speaks to everyone about taking that time for yourself. It's so important.
One Moment sounds beautiful. Grandson, I just had a birthday celebration for my grandson the other night, so I can tell you you're in for a wonderful, wonderful journey having a grandson.
I know. I keep hearing that.
Yes, we should grandparent first. Because we would be better parents if we got to hang out with our grandkids first.
Right. Well, okay. And I just feel like, yeah, I totally understand. I get it. I'm like, wow, I get it. You know, I had my daughter when I was 19. And so, you know, who's winning? You know, I had no idea who I was. So
sure.
I'm just so glad we made it through and we're okay. You know, the relationship is
you and me both.
Growing
I had my daughter very young as well, so I can certainly relate to that. I can relate to that. And grandsons are magical. Congratulations on that. Every month is Black Music Month here on Needle on the Record. But we were interested in knowing your thoughts, your inspirations, your favorite era of music. Sounds very eclectic based off of our conversation thus far, but I'd love to hear from you. What are some of your favorite eras of music?
I love jazz. I love Ella. I love Sarah, Billy. And Tina Marie is my all-time favorite R&B artist. Mostly because she was an incredible musician and writer. She was amazing, and her arrangements were awesome. And she was influenced by so many different types of music, and was so well rounded. And it kind of came into this soulful. You know, she brought it. You know, she wrapped it up in a soul bow, like I like to call it. You know, all her influences, and you can hear them, but it's all had some real soul to it. And I of course, the divas. I was a big Diana Ross fan. Dionne Warwick, I grew up listening to. Luther Vandross, I'm sorry. Like, I learned, and Lisa Fisher, and, you know,
oh
I learned harmony
Lisa
from those
Fisher.
Guys. What?
Yeah.
I hit her on Twitter, and I was like, I learned, like, I practiced my harmonies with them, like, listening to Luther records and doing the backgrounds. Like, I was a big background girl, like,
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So many people sleep on the fact that Luther Vandross was a master with the background vocals, and he gave you so much lushness, and you really had an experience when you went to his show. And I tell you, the gang really misses that type of touring experience.
Absolutely.
You really
I just don't
get to see that. That type of production,
that level, yeah, is very different. I was blessed. My mother took me for my 15th birthday to see them.
Yeah, Lisa Fisher is one of my all-time favorites. My mom was blessed to be Luther's chef for many years. And so
that's a joke.
Yeah, I would be in the arena sometimes after the show, and to see her, the way she carried herself was just so inspiring, because she was so super freaking glamorous. I mean, like black cat suits and long ponytails and
yeah, she was fine.
Furs.
She was gorgeous.
Yeah, she is gorgeous. And
yeah, she's a cutie pie.
She was just so lush with her presentation, and always such a sweet person.
Yes, awesome stuff.
Always
I was
a very
able
sweet
my mother
person.
To me. Yeah, she's a sweetie pie. She hit me on. I hit her on Twitter and told her, you know, after I saw 20 feet from stardom, I was in tears, because it didn't hit me until then. I was like, oh my God, like that's who you know. That's who helped me like become, because I became a background. My first gig was saying background for Maxi Priest on his world tour. So I understood,
really?
Like, and that was super fun for me. Yeah, that was like, I was like,
I
are
love
you kidding
Maxi
me?
Priest. That's so interesting.
Yeah, there's a little factoid.
Very interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, you know.
Who else have you done backgrounds with when you were starting out? That's very interesting.
Well, that was it. That was the last one. That was the first one.
That was great.
Yeah, and then
that's
yeah,
a heck
then
of a person
a
to do.
Artist. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, still my buddy too.
Very cool.
My gosh.
Very cool. Well, give everyone
it's
your contact
awesome.
Information. So thank you. So that they can keep in touch with you and continue to continue this journey with you.
Yes, thank you. That's great. My Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For everybody that does all, and then some people don't. They're all the same. Mm-hmm. The handle is The Monifa, TheMonifah. It's also Pinterest too. So come hang out and, you know, interact with me. I'm a big people lover, and I love people energy. So come and just keep up with what's going on. I got some great events coming up for February, and, you know, I got the single coming out.
Talk to us a little bit about the tour dates.
Well, they're not tour dates as of yet. They're spot dates. So
okay.
I have a Valentine's Day show in Harlem. I'm taking it home to my home neighborhood. And I'm doing a live show there on Valentine's Day, which I'm very excited about. And I have them doing Brooklyn Academy of Music Cafe, doing BAM. So that's coming up on February 28th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff is on my social media. But, yeah, for right now, those are the two dates. And then we should be, you know, it should be rolling after that. Once that single hits,
all right.
I think I'm going to be everywhere.
There you go. Bam. Everybody get to Amazon and iTunes and pick up the latest offering from Miss Monifa, The Other Side. We played it at the top of the show. And thank you so much for coming on to the platform. We really enjoyed having you. And look forward to this season of R&B Divas.
Thank you so much.
Continue with the love story of you and your lovely wife.
Thank you.
So awesome.
Thanks. Thanks so
Hopefully
much.
We'll go back to Hawaii with you guys.
Okay. Yeah, you know, our anniversary is coming up. It's our anniversary is on the 8th of February.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's been a year already. Wow.
Yep.
All right, newlywed. Handle
yes.
that.
Yes.
Make that anniversary the best.
Yes. We're going to have fun.
All right, young lady. Thanks so
All
much.
Right.
We'll talk
Thanks
to you soon.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.